In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in
our
shadow.
There's a classic movie theme or trope that is might be very familiar to many of you, especially within karate style movies, like Karate Kid, for instance. How many of you have seen Karate Kid? I might actually now be dating myself, which is, that's funny. So the 80s movie Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi, the sensei, the master, who has to teach the young man karate, but has him go out and wash the car and wax the car. And you remember wax on and wax off and how ridiculous it is. We have an equivalent of this in much of the monastic fathers. You know, I was reading a story to my daughter, and the story about the abbot who sends the monk out to water the stick that the abbot stuck in the ground for 3 years, and sends him out there every day to water it, and to water it. And the idea or the trope behind it is essentially, you know, the master requires obedience, but beyond this obedience, that somehow the master is benevolent and knows really what the student needs, and that the student doesn't have a clue on how to train himself, but thinks he knows how things should be done. And of course, by the end of the story, you know, Daniel's son is very good at karate because he eventually learns how to trust and obey his master. And at the end of the story of the monk watering the stick, there's a bud that comes forth, and we see the fruits of obedience. And these are ways and stories for us to kind of begin to contemplate our own spiritual lives. Because as we journey on the path of Christianity, one of the questions that each one of us may face, or hopefully we ask ourselves once in a while, is what would God have me be doing? What am I supposed to be doing to be saved, to be healed, to be made one with Christ? Now, that same trope applies, because as much as we would think that we would just come and ask that question, we also think we know the answer. Most of us, including myself, at times in our lives, have decided that we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and how it's supposed to be done. And if we just really pushed ourselves, and if we just really had the discipline and did it the way we knew it's supposed to be done, that somehow we would lay hold of the kingdom of heaven. But there's also the flip that we see within these movies, which is that as students, as disciples, we often don't have a clue what is good for us. We don't have any idea what our soul really needs. Some of us, to a greater extent, may know what our soul needs, but even if we know what our soul needs, we often don't know where to get it, or how to get it, or how it's obtained. And you see people reacting within their spiritual lives to these realities. One walking away sorrowful because they've judged that they need it, but God isn't giving it. Another is deciding to throw themselves headlong into certain disciplines out of their own energy and effort, and burning themselves out because they're pursuing these things in the wrong places. They've committed themselves to the wrong therapy. We have an example of this in today's gospel. We have a young man who is wealthy who comes to Jesus and he says, "How am I to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Follow the commandments." Of course, this young man, and we are to understand that this is genuine, we'll just say he's sincere. There's nothing in this gospel that says that he's trying to tempt Jesus. And so we can sincerely accept that this is a good, pious Jew. And we could also infer that this is a good, pious Jew from the fact that he is wealthy. Why do I say that? Well, not because I'm racist in particular. Why I say that is because in Deuteronomy, those who follow the commandments get rewards. Those who do the will of God, who are planted next to the water like a tree in the law of God and meditate on it daily and follow those commandments, are promised within the Old Testament wealth and many children around their tables. And so in that time, poverty was a curse in many ways. Not having a child was considered a curse. There was a certain, and that is much of the ethos and knowledge of the Old Testament. Of course, it doesn't stop there. But this man could feel very justified and very accepting that he was on the right path, because when you're receiving the promises of God and you're trying to do the right thing, it's easy to say, good, oh, what more could I do to be saved? Obviously, on the other hand, he knows something's missing. And I think many of us come to this point, if you've practiced Christianity or you've done something faithfully or you've even worked hard to get a degree and you get to the point where they award you a degree or you get into the career that you've always wanted. Is this it? When we get there, oftentimes it's not what we thought it would be. Because ultimately our soul thirsts after God. Ultimately, the only thing that can fill us and save us is God Himself. So Jesus gives him one more suggestion, a commandment. He says, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. Now, this is ridiculous because, again, he's being asked to give up the blessings of God on him. He's being asked to give up the reward for something he has diligently practiced. Give up what you've been given and come and follow me. It says the man turned away and walked away sorrowful. And it's because this wasn't part of the therapy that he conceptualized for himself. This is not the answer he wanted. Now, if Jesus would have said, go out and give $1,000 to the temple, do 100 prostrations, and whatever a pious Jew would think was a good thing, that man probably would have done it. And just like with us, if it looks like something a pious Christian would do, like just go to confession more, just do some prostrations at home, well, say your prayers, maybe even self-flagellate. If it looks like something, feel guilty. If it fits within the paradigm of what we think about as pious Christianity, we'll accept it and we're more likely to do it. But as I mentioned in the beginning with Mr. Miyagi, God, who is our ultimate master and trainer, knows what's best for our souls. He sees through us. And so some of the obediences that we do in life and some of the things that we don't think make sense within our own spiritual lives, some of the things we're asked to do occasionally by God, by priests, in the faith, when the Holy Spirit tries to guide us, are strange. They don't fit our narrative. But ultimately, it's in the trust of the Master, it's in following God, that we can come to a place where we have the therapy that heals our soul from God, rather than our own intellectual prowess and what we think we need. And that comes from a place of humility and a place of discipleship. Now, in this story, the man walks away sorrowful. But this is something that we repeat constantly. And I think that many of us walk away sorrowful a lot. And I thank God that I'm a Christian. And I thank God that the rest, maybe we have today's gospel, but we don't know what happens later with this rich young man. We don't know if he comes around later. We don't know if he has a change of heart. But within Christianity, we know that when we walk away, that oftentimes we can repent and we can have a change of heart. And I thank God for that, that God allows us to have so many second and third chances, and that even when we're walking away, He's reaching after us and trying to get us to come back so that we can see what is good for ourselves. But we have also certainly walked away at times in our life. But God is good, and He accepts us back in repentance. He accepts us. But we have to come back as a disciple, as one ignorant. We have to come back as Daniel's son. Someone who is willing to sometimes be ridiculous and do ridiculous things in order to be properly trained by the Master. So let us set aside at times our self-understanding and what we think we need and who we think we should be and how we think things should go. Ultimately, the spiritual life in so many ways is about giving up control. It's about giving up what we think is right. Obeying the commandments. And I didn't say to disobey the commandments and give up what you think is right. I said we give up what we think is right. And we become reliant on our God and our Master to direct our lives. This is ultimately what Jesus is asking for. It isn't simply about money. He's asking for an unmitigated dedication that is willing to do anything in order to obtain the kingdom of heaven. So be thinking about what it is that you're unwilling to do for God. What is it that would make you walk away sorrowful? What is it that you think that you should be doing? Why is it that you think you should be doing it? And did God tell you that? Did God tell you you should be doing what you're doing? Anyways, we're called to go beyond the surface of a system that just gives us commandments and basic commandments that we follow. We're called to depths. Ultimately, the man in today's gospel was called to a depth, and he wasn't ready to go there. May God bless us to not have a surface spirituality that is just simply trying to fulfill basic precepts. May Christ draw us closer to Himself. May He show us what it is that we need to give up so that we know what it is from Him and not from ourselves. And may we not imitate the man who walked away, but bravely and courageously be allowed and pursue the life that Christ has called us to. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Jesus.